just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just wanna thank you, Lord, for every time you hear me pray. Just wanna thank you, Lord, for always being there. When we're so down and down, you came along.
You took my sin and my shame. Now I am free from doubt. You came along, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bible of Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. Judges, one of the strangest books in the Bible. Maybe the strangest. If you want to get into some strange studying, you study this book. Seven apostasies. Seven repentings, seven backslidings, seven servitudes of the foreign nation, seven times they backslid and God let them serve heathen nations, seven times they get right and seven times they delivered them. The key thought to the book of Judges, people ask me, they say, why did all that weird stuff happen? You remember that story about that fella that sliced his concubine up in 12 pieces and mailed her all over creation to all them people? Some strange stuff now. People say, why'd that happen? The answer is real simple. The key verse to the book of Judges in the last chapter, the last few verses, where it says, there was no king in Israel in those days. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Boy, when everybody starts doing what they think's right, you have got a mess on your hand. You got a mess on your hands when a nation thinks, well, whatever I think's right's right. If I don't think's wrong, it ain't wrong. That'll never work, brother. That will never work. That kind of stuff always results in heathenism, paganism, murder, robbery, rape, killing. You know, there's some people kill you and think they're doing right. Yes, sir. And whenever a man does what's right in his own eyes, you are in big trouble. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that is the philosophy that is beginning to abound in America. Whatever you think is all right, it's all right. If you don't think it's all right, then it's not all right. Whatever you think, you become God. You decide what's right and what's wrong. It's a dangerous philosophy. You know why? Because your feelings change, your thoughts change, just like the weather. God's Word never changes. But that's not... I want to preach about an entirely different subject. The title is going to strike you strange and everybody's heard it. But it's the best title I've ever heard for this story and bringing the message on it tonight. Judges chapter 3 and verse 12. Judges chapter 3 and verse 12. Real quickly tonight. We've got a lot to mention in a little while about the ladies' retreat, the upcoming Bible Jubilee and some of those things. So we'll mention that later. Judges chapter 3 and verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again. See, there they go backsliding again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel. because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. By him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubic length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in the summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God to thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And the dirt came out. Ehud went forth through the porch, and shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. They thought he was just taking a nap. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them. And behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped to Syriath. All right. This story of mine tonight, I'm going to preach to you on the subject, when Lefty let Fatty have it. That's the name of the message tonight. And in this story here in the Judges, the book of Judges is a tremendous slam to the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution teaches that man is progressively getting better. The book of Judges teaches that man, if God don't help him, gets worse and worse and worse and lower down than dogs. Man just degenerates and gets worse until God intervenes and does something to him. Now, every man here in his own eyes done what was right in the book of Judges. They committed murder. They cut people's toes off. They tied foxes' tails together and burnt people's cornfields down and put themselves in the place of God whenever they would have an enemy. In this story tonight, we find that Eglon was the great big fat king of the enemy of Moab. And he ruled over the people of Israel. And Ehud was the man that God raised up when they were in trouble. Now, let me tell you something tonight. No matter how bad of a trouble you're in your life, if you'll cry unto God, God will somehow or another send you deliverance. Now, you can get yourself in an awful mess, but God is faithful. All as bad as them children of Israel did down through the years. Every time they would humble themselves, pray to God, the Lord would always have mercy on them. The Lord is long-suffering and merciful. So in this story, give me up on this, Brother Lord, they prayed. And they said, God, please deliver us from Eglon. So God raised them up a man by the name of Ehud, and Ehud come in there and said, praise God, the Lord has sent me to deliver you. And they said, down just out, Brother Roy. And they said, well, here, how about taking this present over there to him?
and maybe we'll get on the good side of him by giving him a present. He said, all right, I'll do that. But not only with his present, he took a sword that was sharp on both sides. That is a two-edged sword. And he stuck it in there and hit it. He went in there. He gave King Eglon the present. King said, thank you. I appreciate that. He said, all right, I'll be seeing you around. And he says, oh, I got something that I need to talk to you about in private. So the king said, okay, everybody get out. This man's got something he wants to talk to me about. Made everybody get out. And he said, I have a message from God, the old king. Boy reached over here with that left hand, grabbed that sword out and goes, ah, and gives it to him right in the gut. And he sticks it in so far that he can't even get the thing out, and dirt came out of that guy's side. I don't understand that. There's some weird things about that, but that man, he was full of mud. But anyway, I never thought of that, but I reckon that's what it was. But I tell you what, anyway, it killed him. Now, I want to say tonight, use that as a type tonight. Now, everybody already knows what the type is, right? Surely you can figure out type. Let's see how good Gudgeons are doing on figuring out types. Ehud, or Eglon, would represent the wicked, our enemy, right? The devil, or the enemies of God, right? Now, everybody knows what that sword represents, surely, right? Anybody knows what sword represents? Raise your hand. Okay. That's the Word of God. It's sharp than a two-edged sword that sticks the enemy. And Ehud represents us with Cain, the two-edged sword, and getting the job done on the enemy. Now, I want to say three or four things about this tonight. And the first thing I want to say is, Ehud had a message to give the enemy of God. He had a message, but he had something to give him. You and I tonight, we've got a message to give the enemies of the Lord. Which is very important. You say, what is it, preacher? It's Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. He had a message. He came over and he said, buddy, I've got a message for you, big boy. You are in trouble. God has got your number. I want to say tonight, you and I, as you go in your job tomorrow, as your kids go to school, you are a messenger of God. You've got a message for the enemy of God. Sinners are God's enemies. Well, what do you mean you got saved? We're God's enemies. The Bible said in Romans 5:10, for if when we were the enemies of Christ, you were the enemies of God before you got saved. You may not have admitted it. You may not have owned up to it. You may not have even realized it. But according to the Bible, before you're saved, you are an enemy of God. Buddy, we've got a message for the enemies of God. You know that? And buddy, we need to put it out. We really need to put out gospel tracts. You're putting out the message. When you leave a witness in a restaurant, or in a laundromat, or in a post office, or in a grocery store, or in a home, you are leaving the message from God. I heard about this fellow. I believe it was a missionary come up here. And he said one day, he was passing through somewhere, I believe he was passing through Lenore, up through here. And he went in Hardee's down in Lenore, and he saw a tract laying there, and picked it up. And it said, New Manor Baptist Church. Somebody told me not long ago, they said they was in some great big fancy store in Asheville, where rich will buy their clothes. I forgot the name of it. But somewhere over there, and supposed to be like, people, you know, $400-$500 suits and stuff like that. But somewhere over there, and somebody was akin to somebody who worked in there. They said they was in there, and going up the steps, they laid a little piece of paper. They picked up that piece, put that in, it's a gospel tract, and said, New Manor Baptist Church. I said, oh my soul. I said, I don't know who put that there. I don't even know where that place is. And I've seen them in hospitals and places like that. You know what that is? It's a message to the enemies of God. Yes, sir. Everywhere we go, we are being a signpost and bearing the message of God to the enemies of God. So Ehud had the message. But not only that, number two, Lefty had a message of death. He had a message of death for Eglon or fatty. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Ahab went over there and he said, all right, buddy, I don't know if he told him this, but he got the message, I'll guarantee you. He said, you have an appointment, big boy, and your appointment is that you're going to die one day and face God Almighty. It just happens today. He said a message of death unto him. Did you know tonight that you and I, as God's children, not only carry a message from God, we carry a message of death. We have a message to warn the world that everybody is going to die and everybody is going to face God. When a man's called to preach, he's going to try to give the message from God to the enemies of God. You see, the gospel is not a vocation that you choose. Some people think, well, let me see. Doctor, lawyer, minister. There's what I'll choose. It don't work like that. If you try it like that, you are in for the shot of your life. It's very, very, very hard to stay on track and preach the gospel and take all the flack that you get and the devil hitting you from every... I ain't going to stand here and tell you it is easy. But I'll guarantee you, you don't want to try unless you know that God has called you. You're like, oh, Billy Kelly, you know, he's just kidding around, you know, he really is God's preacher. He said, somebody asked him one time, they said, how do you know that God wants you to preach? He said, well, I woke up one morning craving chicken and didn't want to go to work. He said, I figured right then I must be a preacher. Heard about the old colored fella. I can remember how he said it, but he said, Lord, this ass is so tall, and this cotton is so rotten, and this hot sun is so hot, and I'm so tired, I believe I'm called to preach. Now, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's when you realize God has placed His hand upon you and put a divine call on your life. I want to tell you, brother, it's not just preachers that have this call. Everybody has this call, and it is a message of death. Just because you're a king, Eglon, does not mean that it ain't sharp. Just because you're a big shot and rule the country does not mean this dagger can't pierce to the dividing asunder of your soul and spirit and make dirt come out of you. Just because you're an important man will not dull this dagger as it slides into your stomach. I'm saying here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Bible that's sharp. We have a book that's true. And the harder they fall, man. It doesn't matter if they are important. It doesn't matter if they are rich. It doesn't matter if they are educated. The sword of the Spirit will still pierce into people's heart and bring conviction unto them. It's a message of death. Number three, Ehud carried a message of eternal doom to Eglon. Death is the departing of the soul from the body. A child of God, it means to be in heaven with Jesus. But for a sinner, it means to be in hell forever. So here's what he done. He pulls out that sword like this. I have a message from God unto thee. And gives it to him like that. That sword killed that king. It was a message of eternal doom. Did you know why that people out in the world are trying their best to convince themselves that the Bible is not true? Because if what the Bible says is true about them, which, you know, I believe that when I say that, but in their eyes, they don't know if it's true or not. If it is, it puts eternal doom on them. You can't blame them for not wanting to believe it. But if I was out there wanting to just live for the devil and live in sin, I'd say, no, no, that can't be true. That can't be true. You know why? It is a message of eternal doom. I mean, here he was sitting on the throne 1 minute, and the next minute he was at the gates of hell. And 1 minute he was had his surroundings of plush, silk, and purple from the finest scarlet linen of Egypt, and the next moment he's looking up in the face of demons as they drug his soul into the fire. Whether that dagger was a message of doom unto him. By the way, folks, I'll get on this one in just a second, but that is why the Bible is the most hated book in the world, as well as the most loved. And I'll say more about that in a minute, but yesterday I went with a
couple to Gatlinburg, on the Gatlinburg trip, and I was their chaperone, and I didn't have nothing to do yesterday evening, and so I went in Guinness Book of World Records, and I stayed in there and I read and read. I read that's the craziest junk I ever seen. Some, I don't know if some of it's true or not. And I walked in there and I started looking around, and I come to a section that said books, and I said, hallelujah, I know what this one's going to say. Sure enough, right there in a glass case was a big old King James Bible. Guinness Book of World Records. And boy, they had an old book over here. They had a book over here. You know what? They said the best-selling book of all time that was copyrighted. So they don't count the Bible in that, because the Bible don't have a copyright. That is, the King James don't. New Bibles have a copyright. That means some company owns the right to them. Nobody owns a book. Anybody, anywhere, anytime can print it. That's the only book you can find in the Library of Congress with no copyright. All new modern versions of the Bible are copyrighted. And they had this big King James Bible here laying out there real pretty. And over here they said, so that fellow that wrote the McGuffey Readers. How many of you are familiar with the McGuffey Reader? They used to use them as text in the school books back from 1880 up until about, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago. You ought to get the McGuffey Readers. I've got a set ordered right now coming. They say they're the greatest thing to educate 7 and 8 and 9 year old children. That's how all of your grandmas and grandpas learned how to read, from the McGuffey Readers. All of them. They used them as a text in the school, but they had a little bit too stiff religious hint to them, so we kicked them out several years ago and brought in this new modern method that's really doing a fine job, if you've read the statistics lately. Hear about a fellow who's playing pro football and can't read and write? The other day, I forgot his name, Manley, Stanley, Bamley, somebody like that. They ain't even read and write, man, and graduated from college and high school. Anyway, I was looking at them books, and they said, this guy, the McGuffey Reader, is 63 million. Had old Jacqueline Suzanne's book, Valley of the Dolls. You remember that back in the 60s? It sold like 25 million copies. And up here in the front it said, the Bible has outsold every other book. I got a blessing out of that. I said, amen, hallelujah. I'm glad that I get to stand up and preach out of the world's bestseller every Sunday. I'm glad that I get to stand up and hold the greatest book in the world. And so ain't nobody got a book like this. Nobody's got a book that's compared to this. Nobody's got a book that can successfully contradict and prove this book wrong. It's a message that is doomed, though, if you don't believe what it says. That's the last part I'll talk about for a few minutes. The message of doom for God's enemy was a message of deliverance for God's people. Right? The same thing that killed him liberated them. The same thing that put him in hell put them in heaven. The same dagger that cut him blessed them. That's what this old book will do, buddy. If you're on the right side, it'll bless you. If you're on the wrong side, it'll blister you. I know an old boy, he used to come to church up there in the old building. And buddy, that old boy got saved. I believe he got saved. He loved the Lord. He read the Bible. He really got on fire there for a while. And something happened. Some things went in his life. And he got discouraged and disgusted and just gave up and said, fooey with it. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do.
Don't ever do that. No matter how bad it seems, keep on plugging. No matter how rough it seems, say, I'm going on, God. If I die, try. I'm going to go. And don't ever let the devil make you quit. That's what the devil wants you to do. Two wrongs don't make a right. And buddy, that old boy had messed up and messed up and messed up. And finally, he just quit church. And a few months later, it might not have been that long, I went over to him one night. I was sitting around in the living room talking to him. He's watching TV, and he had a big bookshelf over there, and he probably had 200 books on it. And I got to looking around, and I said, man, have you got away from God and everything? He said, yeah, I have. He said, Brother Danny, I feel so guilty. He said, I'd sit here every night watching TV, and I'd cut my eyes over and look at that Bible on that shelf. He said, finally, I got up and got it and took it in your bedroom and hid it. So he wouldn't have to look at it. So he sits there every night watching TV. Mother 199 don't bother him in the least. Just that one book. Take that book in the steakhouse. Take it in. Now you shouldn't be chicken to do that. Big people, grown people like y'all. Take it in the steakhouse. How many of you ever took your Bible in somewhere to eat with you? Oh, you don't know what a blessing you're missing. Take it in there and put it on that tray. Slide it down through there. And you watch them, buddy. You watch them. Now, I've done it just as an experiment. Here come these lawyers in there. Go out here to the steakhouse on the 5 lane. Here come these lawyers in there. They got books. They got papers. They put theirs on. Nobody gives it a second look. Take that book in there. How they even know what it is? They can tell. You can have it in a cover. And they'll look at this. And they'll watch you, buddy. When she comes to say, would you like some more Coke, some more tea? They'll look at it. Like it's going to go, now I reach out there and bite them or something. Heard one man said he believed that got up and walked around at night while he's asleep. Buddy, you better watch fooling with this thing. You better watch fooling with this thing. It's a two-edged sword. It'll bless you or blister you. Nah, that sounded scary, didn't it? But anyway, buddy, that dagger went over there. He goes, ah, honey! Comes over here. God's people said, hallelujah, a dagger. Left it up, fatty had it. Woo! Shot the victory. The same dagger that killed him delivered them. Jesus came to the devil one day, and the devil had me in bondage. And Lord, give him the knife and set me free. You know, I was talking the other day, let's see, I believe it was Friday evening. We was over there Friday evening, yesterday evening. And I was in this store just looking around.
And before I left, there's this little girl running this there. And I just kind of felt the nudge. I don't do that everywhere I go, but a lot of places I do. I just turned around and said, you remember, Jesus loves you. And she said, thank you. And I turned around and walked out. The next day, yesterday evening, I was just walking around again. I just walked back through that same store, and I went in there, and this girl said, I didn't even know she recognized me. And that girl says, you know something? You just made my day yesterday. And I said, really? She said, yes. She said, I was having a terrible day. I said, you just come in here, and when you said Jesus, she said, that is just what I needed to hear. And I thought, well, hey, man, thank you. I appreciate that. Now let me tell you something else. Tuesday or Wednesday, when I was going down to Taylorsville this week, I got off in Morganton. Now keep this girl in mind here that said it made her day. And when I was getting back on the interstate, there was a guy standing there hitchhiking. I felt the nudge to pick him up. And so I picked him up, and he opened the back door of the car. His old, had real long blonde hair, and he looked kind of rough, big old pack. And I said, hop in. He opened the back seat. I had my suit jacket hanging up back there, and he just throwed his stuff right on it. He just puts it out of the way. So he sits down in the front seat, and I said, how you doing? I said, what's your name? I think, I forgot it. I believe he said his name was Al. He said, yeah, Al. I said, how you doing, Al? I'm Danny. And shook his hand. We took off down the road. I said, where are you coming from? He said, St. Louis, Missouri. And I said, where are you headed? He said, Raleigh. He said, boy, he was mad. So he started talking. He said it's hard to get a ride anymore. And then he started talking about picking up a hitchhiker one time and getting robbed. And I started thinking now,
I did. I said, I believe he's just trying to see what, you know, feel me out to see how things. And I said, I bet he's got a knife or a gun or something. So when he said that, I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. Buddy, if a man tried to do that to you, he better watch out because God
will kill
him. And he said, I said, God would kill you before you took two steps if somebody done that to you. You know that? Whew, I'd be scared to do somebody like that. And he didn't.
I just done that just in case he had any ideas. I was going. And evidently it worked because he didn't try nothing. I don't know if he's going to try anything. He probably wasn't, but I just said that just in case.
I was going to say, hey, man, I ain't messing with this guy. I'll wait and rob the next guy I get in the car. I'm a preacher and I'm going to church tonight. And I said, this boy stole my billfold one time out of the back seat. And it's my fault. I left it laying back there and I'd give this old boy a ride. And he took my billfold and had about $50 in it. And that was a long time ago. And I said, boy, that's bad. Somebody do something like that. So I started trying to witness to him. And he said something about, wife divorced him about a year ago. And now he'd been shacking up with his girlfriend. And she had dumped him for his best friend. And he hated women. And he wasn't ever going to speak to another woman again. And women were no good. And whew. I said, no, you ain't going. I said, now, sooner or later, you'll be all right. He said, no, I ain't going. He said, you can just get drunk and everything. You don't have to fool with them. I thought, you know, if I wasn't, hey, that'd sound pretty good. But, I mean, I know it ain't right. I said, now, you know that ain't. I said, that ain't right. I said, and he said, I try to do right and try to. My daddy's a preacher. He said, he just got saved. His daddy lived a wicked life. He said, I try to do right, try to do this, try to do that. He said, I just said, you know where with it. Talking about God. And I started trying to talk to him and give him scripture, and it made him mad. He hated it. What's the difference between him and that girl over in the mirror? The same word that blessed her blistered him. It all depends on which side of the fence you're on. If you're living for God, the Word of God will bless you. If you're living for the devil, it blister you. As a matter of fact, if you're living in sin, every time you open it, your power. You can just let it flop open. Bang! It'll hit you right between the eyes. It'll do it. You try it. You try it and see if I'm not telling you the truth. But if you're on the right side, it'll just bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. And I finally, that old boy, when I let him out, I said, man, I'll be praying for you. And he was getting kind of nice in. He said, I hope you have a good service. But he was ill hard in his heart. And I thought, the poor fella, I told him, I said, you know, it's not been a bed of roses, but I got saved. And I told him, I said, man, I've had problems too. You ain't the only one. But I said, I'm going to heaven. I said, I ain't perfect, and I'm a sorry dog. I ought to be in hell. But if I die right now, I'd go to heaven. He said, if I died right now, I'd go to hell. And it's because of that same word. That word of God splits you right down the middle. It'll split a crowd. It'll split a nation. It'll split a home. Jesus said, I'm come not to bring peace, but a sword. You don't hear the liberal preachers preach on that verse very often, do you? When's the last time you heard an FM preacher talk about that verse where Jesus said, I'm come to set them at variance, father, one against the family, right in the home? But I know it's not supposed to be like that, but what Jesus meant was, when one of them gets in there and the Word of God comes, it'll slice the family right in two, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. The same dagger that killed him blessed them. And that day, as Eglon went to Ehud, or Ehud went to Eglon, or whichever one done it, and gave him the message, it killed him, it set his soul into hell, and it separated him from God. The same dagger turned around, he said, the Lord delivered us, and the people shouted. You know what, folks? We have a message. And whether you get blessed or blistered determines on how you react and handle this sword.
Let's stand back here. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed in just a moment. We're going to sing. I'm not going to give an invitation. We're just going to sing a little bit and let you go. If you want to come and pray, you're welcome to come, but I'm not going to give an invitation as normal. We're just going to sing. You think about what a book that you've got in your hand as you go out of here tonight. You think about it. My, my, my. What a book. Dear God in heaven, help us to love your word. Help us to do it, we pray. In Jesus' name.